In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not seeing what is right in front of you is a curse that all humans have to bear. We experience this, maybe even daily, this obnoxious curse in regard to the somewhat trivial earthly things. Think about maybe a note that you wrote to yourself to try to remember something tomorrow, and yet when tomorrow comes, that note eludes you. You don't see what is right in front of you. Or that book you've been reading, you search everywhere for it, and yet all along it's been on the end table under a paper. You can't see what is right there in front of you. Or maybe it's your cell phone that you just can't seem to find. Maybe it slid out of your pocket into a couch cushion. It's right there, but you can't see what is right in front of you. We know what this is like regarding the earthly things. It's a bit obnoxious when these things happen, but it's not that big of a deal. But this curse is much more serious regarding heavenly things. This is a curse upon all humans because of the fall into sin. See, the rule and reign of Christ is among us, our Lord says as much, and yet, for so many, it is hidden in plain sight. Because of this, our Lord says these words at the beginning of today's gospel text. Speaking to his disciples, he says, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." See, here's the point. The kingdom of heaven is hidden from those who do not see with the eyes of faith. But for those of us who have been given eyes of faith, for those of us who by the Holy Spirit do perceive heavenly things, the kingdom of heaven is right in front of us, in plain sight, yet not seen by so many. The lawyer who appears next in our gospel reading epitomizes these people for whom the kingdom of God is right there, and yet they can't see it. And this is because such people are often self-absorbed. Again, the lawyer epitomizes this attitude of self-obsession. The kingdom of heaven is literally right in front of this man in the person of Jesus, and he can't see it rightly because he's looking in the wrong place. He's looking at himself. To use St. Augustine's Latin phrase, he epitomizes homo incurvatus in se, man curved in on himself. And this inward curvature, navel gazing, we might call it today, causes him to miss that thing which is in plain sight. The questions that the lawyer asks demonstrate how focused he is upon himself. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Who is my neighbor? See, this lawyer, as we would expect from lawyers, wants all of the details worked out. He wants to know what the limits and boundaries are. What is enough? How can I have confidence that I have done what I need to do so that I don't have to go above and beyond and do any more? So our Lord responds to this lawyer's questions by telling this well-known parable of the Good Samaritan. And as we consider this parable, it's important to note that the answer to this lawyer's questions is found just as much in Jesus' words as the answer is found in what the words of Jesus are doing. Let me explain what I mean. The question, of course, that prompts this parable immediately is the question, who is my neighbor? Our Lord answers with a parable that not only illustrates who is my neighbor, but it also illustrates to what lengths one must go for the neighbor. So who is my neighbor? Well, the parable of the Good Samaritan makes clear to us that my neighbor is someone who is near to me and in need. And this is important lest we narrow down the definition of neighbor too much, or we make it too broad. A neighbor is not, too narrowly speaking, just somebody who lives on your street, or maybe someone who lives in an adjacent house to yours. At the same time, your neighbor is not everyone. Your neighbor could be anyone, but your neighbor is a very specific and concrete person, that person who is near to you and who is in need. This is who my neighbor is. But again, Jesus is just as much concerned with what lengths a person must go to for the sake of this neighbor. And in a word, the lengths one must go to for a neighbor are great. The priest and the Levite demonstrate the exact opposite of how one must treat their neighbor. They despise this man, this neighbor who is in need. They see him. They recognize his need. And what do? They pass by on the other side, probably looking the other way, hoping that nobody sees them doing so, because to care for this man in need would be inconvenient. It would require sacrifice. But that is, of course, precisely what the Samaritan is willing to do. And the fact that this is a Samaritan is significant because this is the last person that you would expect to show up and help this man. But the Samaritan doesn't care. He sees a neighbor who is in need, and so he does what a neighbor does. He gives of himself sacrificially. See, it doesn't matter why the Samaritan was on the road. It doesn't matter where he was going. What matters is that his neighbor is in need. So he sets all of that aside, whatever other vocational responsibilities he may have had as a father, as a husband, as an employee maybe. Whatever responsibilities he had don't matter in that moment because his neighbor is in need. And so he sets that all aside. And he gives sacrificially first of his time. And going to the man, binding up his wounds, and nursing him back to health. He brings him to that inn when finally the next day he has other things that he must do, and so he then gives sacrificially of his money so that the man may be cared for and not put the expense and the burden on anyone else more than it needs to be. These are the words of our Lord. Who is my neighbor? What lengths must I go to for him? But there's more going on in this parable. Because the words of Jesus are doing something for this lawyer. These words also act as a mirror for this lawyer, to help him to recognize that though he probably thought that he had externally kept the commands of God, though he thought that he had loved his neighbor as himself, he had not. He has broken the law of God. He has not loved his neighbor as himself. And so, the law has condemned and even damned him as a sinner. This, my friends, is what the law does to us as well. How many times have you seen a neighbor who is in need and just looked the other way because it wasn't convenient, because you had something more important that you were doing? How many times have you been asked to give financially and begrudgingly you gave a little, but you weren't willing to give sacrificially? How many times have you been all too eager to send money to a problem, but you have been unwilling to give your own time? Acting as a mirror, the law reveals to you and I that we too are sinners. We have failed to keep our Lord's command. We have failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so the question then is, who then can be saved? This, of course, is where we need the eyes of faith to see that which is right in front of us. With the eyes of faith, one can see what others cannot see. With the eyes of faith given to us by the Holy Spirit, we can see that there is more going on in this parable of the Good Samaritan than first meets the eye. See, this man who is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, the man who fell among the robbers, that man is you. For who of us has not exchanged the things of God, our heavenly city, Jerusalem above, for the cursed city, as we pursue the things of this world? Who of us has not, thinking that we were going to prosper, has been led into ruin and fallen among the robbers of the devil and his demons, who have beaten us, stripped us, and left us for dead? And yet, the priest and the Levite who come by are representatives of the law. The law is unable to help us when we are in such a situation, when we are condemned by our sins. The law is no use. But when our Good Samaritan comes, the one who by all accounts is unexpected, when God becomes man in the person of Christ, he cares for us. He gives of himself sacrificially. He nurses us back to health. He brings us into the inn of the church where we may be cared for, fed and nourished until he returns on the last day to take us home eternally. See, the lawyer's questions, which precede our parable for today, reveal that he was looking to himself for hope and salvation. But our Lord tells this parable with the goal that this lawyer may be led to despair of himself. Our Lord tells this parable with the goal that you may be led to despair of yourself, so that we might look to Christ alone, our Good Samaritan, who has rescued us from the mess in which we have gotten ourselves. Christ alone is our hope. Christ alone is our salvation. And yet, this good news of the gospel does not undo the law. Our Lord ends the parable by commanding, "Go and do likewise." Just because we have been condemned by that, not having fulfilled that command rightly and perfectly, doesn't mean that that law no longer stands. It still does stand. Go and do likewise. But those words are not meant to condemn you who are in Christ. Rather, those words are an invitation. See, the kingdom of heaven is hidden from those who do not see with the eyes of faith, but for you who do see with the eyes of faith, for you who do recognize your own sinful brokenness, for you who do see Christ on the cross, knowing the lengths that he has gone to for you who see by the eyes of faith, this law now becomes a guide for how to live in thanksgiving for what our Lord Jesus has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.